They were a part of the Sister Harriet Collective when they were here in Atlanta. And they are still a part of the Sister Harriet Collective because I believe in what I'll later talk about, the was-isness of life, that our bodies don't need to be present for us to be in a space and to be there. So we are blessed that you would take time out of your busy schedule. I know it's very busy with all the stuff you have to do, to stop by this morning and be with us and be a part of this experience at the First Existentialist Congregation. Thank you. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. So glad about it. So glad about it. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. I'm so glad to be here. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad, so glad about it. I'm glad, so glad about it. I can be the choir and the vocalist all at once. I'm glad, so glad about it. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad, so glad about it. I'm so glad to be here. That's the acknowledgement that we woke up this morning with a capacity to be here on this day to do the work we're called to do in the world. I love that song, and I find it very interesting that the melody is the same as another song that I love. It's a song that my uncle Moody would sing in the mornings. He was an occasional preacher, but he'd have his coffee and a cigarette, and as he was getting ready for church, he would sometimes sing, "There's a leak in this old building, and my soul has got to move. You know my soul has got to move. My soul has got to move. There's a leak in this old building, and my soul has got to move." Same melody, different words. And I think we really live between the ideas of those two songs. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. I'm glad I got my health and my strength. I'm glad about it. I'm glad to be here. But at the same time, I realize that I'm living in a leaky building. I realize that the human condition is that all of our bodies are going to leak one day. And the soul has got to move. I think the problem with death and why it seems heavy for a lot of people is because oftentimes we are in denial about the leakiness of our buildings. We are in denial about the fragility of life. We are in denial about the fact that life is a season. When we come to terms with our body's leakiness, it doesn't mean things are easy, but we get a clarity about what we ought to do with this day's journey. My partner, Mary Ann, her aunt Sarah died a few weeks ago when we were in Oxford, Mississippi for the service. And we went to her cousin's house, and it was the same plot of land upon which Mary Ann's family home once stood. The house is no longer there, and someone asked, well, where did the house stand? And Mary Ann, standing in the driveway, said, it was someplace here. The building, the structure was gone. But I was fascinated by the way in which Mary Ann did a diagram to the questioner about where the house was, where so-and-so's house used to be here, and somebody else's house was there, and we go to the candy shop around here, and Mr. John lived there, and Miss Savannah over there. And yes, the buildings were gone. But even after the wood had rotted, the leakiness had destroyed everything, we could still talk about what the buildings contained and the memories that were shared in those houses. I think I enjoyed her talking about that neighborhood, that virtual neighborhood now, so much because it reminded me of the nature of death. That someday, and it was that day, we talked about her Aunt Sarah, who used to be such a vivid and loving and joyful presence in the lives of her kinfolk. But that leaky building had spent its time on this earth, and she was no more there. But we had memories of Aunt Sarah. Much like we talked about the memories this morning of Brother Steve and the memories of our mother we celebrated who knew the pricelessness of that one pebble on that beach full of so many other things. I think the essence of the title that I suggested, Life After Death, is really about when we come to terms with our own leakiness. Then it gives us an opportunity to think about how we're going to be remembered long after the building has been demolished. And we realize that our wasness after death becomes an isness if we do the work in today's journey. What do you mean about this wasness, isness? And I was reminded about the fact that 2 years ago I preached a sermon here, a talk here, about wasness, isness. And it came out of this idea of Alexis DeVoe, the writer who talked about the fact that Audre Lorde and James Baldwin, these great writers and prophetic artists who brought so much into our world, yes, they are no longer with us here in body. But you cannot dismiss that by ignoring the fact that even though the flesh, the building is no longer present, their work was so much with us, and we need not ignore it. She said it is the wasness, isness of life, that when we consider those who have gone on, they are now in the land of was, isness. I know, but it doesn't make it any lighter for some of us as we struggle with grief and loss. And that's the reality of it, living between these ideas of losing the ones we love and realizing what death is, but at the same time understanding that even beyond death we have the capacity of living on when we do the work of the day's journey. I think it's important for us to not only be reflective about the nature of life and the fact of death, but also account how we're going to show up in the world each day so that after our death, we can be remembered by those we know and love. I want to share something with you. I don't want you to judge me. I want to share a skeleton in my closet. Oftentimes when people begin to do things like that, people want to judge us. But I literally want to share the skeleton that's in my closet. It is a skeleton, a literal skeleton. And her name is Spoony Gal. When I was in San Francisco last year, I thought I went to San Francisco for a job, but I didn't know it was to begin a journey for me to truly discover the work that I was called to do in the world and to do it. I was sitting at home one day in San Francisco, and this thing that I had been wrestling with for so many years kind of resurfaced. And what came to mind was how when something dies and you bury it, and then you walk into the house and you see it sitting in the living room chair. And so you take it and you bury it again, and a few weeks later you see it lying in your bed. And you say, I've had enough of this. I'm through with this for good. And you take it, you bury it once more, and then it meets you the next morning at the kitchen table. We make ourselves unforgettable when we do what we're called to do in the world, when we live out our passion within the context of our proficiency. And that thing that I so often wanted to bury, and it kept resurfacing, I had to sit and talk with it. I was talking to a friend on the phone, and I said, you know, I just feel like it's a skeleton that I just can't bury. And she told me to sit with it, and we talked a little bit more, and I was in Walmart. I'll never forget this. Walgreens in Berkeley, California. And I turned around, and behind me was a skeleton. I believe in signs, y'all. I took the skeleton. It was about this high, probably, 3 feet. I took the skeleton, took it to the counter, and I bought it. And a friend of mine, who a co-worker at work the next day, she said, you know, there's some things, Angela, you can do in San Francisco that you can't do in Atlanta. She said, you'll never be able to walk down a street in downtown Atlanta with a skeleton underneath your arms, but you can do that in San Francisco, and it's all right. But I told her, I said, the reason I bought the skeleton is because I kept having something come up in my life, and I thought I'd buried it. I thought a passion had died, and I needed to no longer engage it. I said, but life keeps telling me maybe I need to have conversation with the thing that I'm burying. And when I decided to do that, then the journey began. And I realized that it wouldn't be an easy path to get to a place where I am now, where I'm doing work that I love. But that the question really became, Angela, it's another day's journey. Be glad about it. Be glad about the work you're called to do in the world. Be glad about the difference that you think it will make, so that once you're no longer here, your wasness, isness, can live beyond you. A few weeks ago, we celebrated and said goodbye to Aretha Franklin for about 9 hours. And one of the things that I understood, which was so important about this space and time, was that there could never be another Aretha Franklin. Never be another Aretha Franklin. And part of that is because she was so intimately connected to a specific time and space in life where her passion and her proficiency met the movement. There would never be another Aretha. There would never be another Nina. There'd never be another Mahalia. I don't even have to give you last names. But when we talk about the passion and proficiency of an Aretha Franklin or a Nina Simone or Mahalia Jackson, all women whose work was tied intimately with the movement, we realize that they are in the realm of the was-isness and that they've moved beyond the landmark of death. I know sometimes death seems to be real heavy for us. And I know that it's difficult for us to talk about it. But I think we lose something when we don't talk about it because we can fall into a place of really thinking that we're going to be here a lot longer than we really are. If we're honest about the fact that life is often both too long and too short, then we might be encouraged to do the work that we're called to do today. And maybe we get to that place by asking ourselves, is there anything that I've been bearing, any passion, any dream, any desire, any work for this day's journey that I think I've been called to do? But it's easier for me to bury it. Something that keeps emerging in your life, some skeleton that keeps showing up at your kitchen table. Something that you feel you're called to do in the world, and if you don't do it, it won't get done. That's how we live life after death. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the reality of our lives that once we're no longer here, we can still be here when we're doing the work we're called to do. It's not just for us as individuals. I'm sure that those of you who are part of this congregation might find it very poignant as you are thinking about how this congregation moves beyond even your own presence here. How the contribution you make makes this congregation last even longer than your leaky building. I dare say even as a nation, if we were to think about what it would mean for us to live on and what we want the story to be told about who we were, what type of people were we were, who were we were in this nation, what stories are there going to be told after we're no longer here and our time has expired and life moves on? We can only wrestle with these realities when we're honest about the fact of our leaky buildings and honest about the fact that we are only here for a limited time. And once we face that reality, then we understand the joy and the work of the day. I told you that I have my skeleton Spoonie gal in my closet. As I was working on the sermon, the talk for today, it dawned upon me this week that I need to bring her out from my closet. I need to sit her on my couch. And the reason I say that is because as we are trying to make lives that are remarkable, sometimes we get weary in our day's journey work. And we forget that we need to always have a conversation with the things that brought us to the place of our journey's beginning until that journey ends. Whatever it is, whatever reminds you of the thing that you do, your passion and proficiency, whatever that keeps you going and up at night thinking about new ways of doing what you do, keep that thing in front of you, because it is so easy to lose sight of things that encourage us and inspire us to go forward. Maybe that's a word for this congregation as well. Whatever it is that inspires you to be a place of justice and peace, keep that thing in front of you so you never forget it. It's so easy to be distracted, baby, with shiny lights. So easy to be distracted. When I'm no longer here, and my leaky building has been demolished, I want people to say things about me that spoke of my passion and my proficiency. I want to have a life after my death that spoke about, that speaks about my joy for writing and words and speaking. I want to have the type of life after death where someone could say the beautiful things about me, like Steve's brother said about him. And it means taking the time of doing our work today so that even when we're not here, people will remember our birthday. People will remember the way in which we made them feel. People will remember how we taught them in school. People will remember how we played the piano for service. People will remember how we picked them up when they didn't have a ride. People will remember how we gave them a drink of water when they were out working in our yard. People will remember how we were kind enough to them when they were in line at the grocery store and they didn't have any money and we said, here, here's the tin that covers your bag of groceries. When we are no longer here, my friends, we can have life after death. But it is only when we become intentional about the life we have to live now. And so it is.